Hallelujah. Glory, 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 glory. Father, we bless you. We worship you. We're so aware of your presence right now. We're so grateful. Thank you for your goodness. Thank you for the tangibility of your presence. Thank you for the refreshing of your presence. Glory to God. Hallelujah. For the Lord is good, and his love endures forever. Amen. You can be seated. Tell you what, it was on my heart that the featured element of these meetings would be God's presence. And he has not disappointed, huh? His presence is so good. Glory to God.
For the Lord is good,
yes.
And we must look to him in everything that we
yes.
do. Look to him in the day and look to him in the night. For there's a place in him that you have not yet quite seen as you
yes,
ought.
Yes.
But tonight, yes, even tonight, you can step further than you
Yay.
Ever have
yeah.
before.
Oh.
And learn and glean from what
yes.
I have for you
Ooh,
to see,
stuck.
To do, to move, stuck. And to be.
Kastova can steba. Contra palot, contra pelipus begin, and the friblene gurezbed, and the frigastu ha. Ingriaton, and grandad, and draplakas to kutens to poko.
So we look and we move and we walk with him
yeah.
until we look and move and are just like him.
Mm-hmm.
And then, the world will see. And
yeah.
then we will be able to decree, it's not me, it's him. It's not me that walks in this way, it's him through me. That touches the lives of men, that reaches into this world and causes God to change the hearts of men.
Hallelujah. 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 Pray. Thank you, Master. Thank you. We just praise you. We praise you. We praise you. There's none like you. There's none like you. There's none so great. Oh, thank you, Master. Thank you, Master, for being big tonight. Glory to God for being big in our lives this year. For getting great glory to yourself through our lives. It's our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. If you have your scriptures, turn to the third chapter of the book of Acts with me. Glory to God. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Praise, 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 praise,
praise.
For the Lord, he is good, and his love endures. For the Lord, he is.
Hallelujah.
He is good.
He is good.
I'm going to set out to, because I don't have any other direction at the moment here, so I'm going to set out and God will give us utterance here and wrap some things up from what we've been discussing these past couple of days. It's been good to be together, hasn't it?
Yes.
Man, it really has. Really has. Verse 19, repent. What's that mean? Turn. Make the change. Make the change. Make the adjustment. Make the heart adjustment. You hearing us?
Yes.
We're in the message already here. Make the change. Make the adjustment. You might say, well, what adjustment? Well, when you come up to God's will and your will is different, you're the one that needs to adapt.
Yes.
Amen. And I can't emphasize enough how necessary it is to do that. We've been, that's almost been another emphasis of these meetings, that we need to be pliable and really need to get to the place where, like, Father, I really don't care what it is as long as I know it's you. I'll go wherever, I'll do whatever, with whoever, however. I want what you want. Yes. I like what you like. Yes. I'll do what you say.
Right. Yes.
Amen. Amen. And so what that requires many times, for me anyhow, maybe your life is, maybe you're already at this place where you've laid down your images and your pictures and your preferences. And you're just so easily able to do whatever God says. That's great if that's the case. For me, I mean, there's been a whole lot of, you know, on one hand, it was difficult. On the other hand, it was really, really easy because we were consecrated. So when God dealt with us about pastoring a church, we had, that was not on our radar. You know, when we went to Rhema, your second year, you got to pick an emphasis of study. First year, everybody took the same classes. Second year, you took almost all the same classes, but maybe five or six of them were different. And you got to pick if you wanted to study kind of like a pastor's group, or there was the evangelist group, or the, and back at that time, they had the teacher's group separately, and then children's or youth or ministry of helps, which that was always the biggest group, which was good. And anyhow, I wasn't in no pastor's group. My wife was in the evangelist group. She was a fire-breathing evangelist. And if you were here really when the church started, you know, she would preach really hard. I mean, she would just wow, 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 bam, 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 bam. And we all go home and have to take a an Epsom salt bath because we got hit, not in a bad way, but just the word had such impact, right? Sit in the hot tub for a while after. But anyhow, God deals with us, pastor. And I'll tell you how my consecration went. God, we were in the car driving from Tulsa up to Buffalo and about Cleveland, Ohio area. We were on this, I think it's the 71 or something like that, driving through there. And the Spirit of God spoke to me, not audibly, but it seemed like it could have been audible. And he said, "What about pastoring?" And I said, "If that's what you want, that's fine with me." And that was the whole conversation. That was it right there. Fine. And the second I said yes, boom, there's the anointing to pastor, which I had in a moderate measure for about 10 years. And then I had to come to my wife and say, "Whoa, it's leaving me. It's leaving." I didn't love the people less. I love the people as much as ever. You know, here's just a, I guess this is advice if you are interested in advice. A lot of times when you want to be removed from a situation, probably not time to be removed from the situation. It's probably time for you to deal and get over whatever's bothering you. And then when you love the situation, you're like, "Okay, we're cool now. I love the people. The group is great. I'll stay here forever." And then God will deal with you. "Okay, good. Now I got something for you. Now let's do that." Amen. And so he deals with us. Oh my God. We were in Buffalo. We had the church built up. People were happy.
Yes.
They're getting along.
Yes.
Uh-huh. Yes. Some of them had died off that weren't. No, I'm just joking. No, folk were sweet.
Yeah.
Did we love each other?
You did.
Yeah, we all loved each other.
Yes.
And but then that we just started sensing transition. And we just had this, we got praying. And we got just laying it down before the Lord, saying, "I forget about what I want. I want to stay here. I want to stay here where the boats are and the lake is and the lake house is and the motorcycles and my friend Pastor Michael is there and we can ride you know, and everything that we did. And I played with the Philharmonic and that was there and all the, and the church was there. And she had just got her dream house. Her dream house with that kitchen you could park a plane. In that kitchen that she had. Shaw, she loved that. She loved that. But you know what we love more? the plan of God. And God starts dealing with us. There's something else. Well, first thing was I stepped out of that pastoring place and she stepped into it. And that worked for a little bit. And then we realized, oh, there's more to it than this, isn't there? We're going to have to do something else. Oh, we didn't want to. But the second God said three words to me, he said, get to Tulsa. And I said, yes, sir. And that was the end of the discussion. I didn't ask, what are we going to do there? Because I was scared to hear. And I knew he meant get, when he said get there, he meant get there and get there as quick as you reasonably can get there. And in 6 weeks, we were there. We were there. Said goodbye to the church. We've been at 11 years. Said goodbye. Love you. See ya. Amen. Packed a U-Haul trailer. Gave Miss Keisha our dog. Said, watch our dog. We don't know where we're going. And the only place we could find to rent to us was the apartment complex we lived in as Rhema students in 1993. When we went to Rhema. Yeah. And they had not been remodeled since. Nope. Same apartment complex. Yeah. Quail Hollow. Yeah. And we went there and we were blessed. But I wasn't fully willing to be there, to be honest with you. Because I kind of had this thing like, what did I do to deserve? I mean, did I offend you? And I knew we didn't, because God spoke to us. He knew where we were going and what we would be enduring. And so he spoke to us the very last day that we pastored that church in New York. And I was sitting there getting ready to walk in to start ministering. And the Spirit of God spoke to me and he said, you guys did a good job here. I was like, that's my reward. I don't need any other reward other than hearing that. So I was good. We were good. So when he said, get to Tulsa, I was like, no problem. Let's go. Let's go live back at Quail Hollow. Let's do it. Let's just sell the dream house. Or not. Let's just leave it on the market and go. Which is what we did. Did you help with showings? I know, Sister.
No.
Yeah. We had an open house the day we were leaving. The day we're leaving town, we have an open house. Never had happened before. Downpour of rain and water starts flooding in our basement window. Yes, never had happened before. And we're all bailing out water during an open house. How would you like to do the will of God? It'll be easier for me, you know. But on one hand, you think things like that can be... can come against you, can weigh on you, make you question. But there was no question. There was no. Well, let's just delay. Let's just put this off till we sell the house, so we can buy a nice place there. No. You just hope. God said, get to Tulsa. You just pack it all up, and you get your bony little. You know what I mean? You just get yourself over to Tulsa. Tulsa. Yay! Back in T-Town. Used to live there. You grew up there. Amen. So we went there. Amen. Didn't know what we were going to do. And it took me about 6 months to get fully willing to be there. Because, you know, we would pray. And no money coming in. All the money we had still going on. All the bills that went with the house, that was all still going on. No money coming in. We were like crazy tight. And we're just praying. And finally, I'll never forget the moment in time. You know, when you have certain experiences with God, you remember where you were.
Yes.
And you remember what you were doing. And let me just say that those of you that are in meetings like this, you know, and places where God's Spirit is moving, and you participate in that, 20 years from now, 30 years from now, you'll look back and you'll remember who you were with.
Yes.
My closest friends today are the people I spent time on the floor with in Brother Hagin's meetings.
Yeah, that's true.
You know what I mean by that time on the floor?
Yeah. Yeah.
Amen. Those are that marks you.
Yes.
It marks you.
Yes.
So, I'm there driving. We were driving down to Georgetown, Texas to see the Dufresnes. in a meeting from Tulsa, and we're driving, and I don't know how far we were down there, but I remember saying, I remember kind of like an exhale, you know what I mean? And I'm like, I can live here forever. Tulsa, I can live here forever. Thank you, Lord, for bringing me here. And that very weekend, it was like, now that you're willing, let me tell you what I have for you. Amen. And so don't you know, if you're willing and obedient, you'll eat the best of the land. Well, we were obedient, not 100% willing, but I got there. It took me a while because I was bothered about what I was leaving. And I was bothered about what I was doing. And to me, it looked like a demotion. I'm not preaching at all. All I did in ministry, well, we went to prayer school. We went to church 3 times a week. We were involved. We kept our kids involved. We were church members. But really, I mean, my traveling ministry, you want to know what my traveling ministry was? Driving Brother Philip to the airport for his meetings. That was my traveling ministry, was getting him to the airport. And there were times I didn't have gas to get him there, and I didn't have money to eat on, and I dropped Brother Philip off, and he leaves, and I go, and I'm driving, and I look down, and in the cup holder, he left money in my cup holder. Amen. That's living, baby. That's living. But you got to be pliable. You got to be willing. You got to be whatever. Just whatever. And I might be speaking to the choir, because you probably wouldn't be here tonight in this room, huh? If you weren't a whatever kind of Christian. So repent, and turn back that your sins may be blotted out. We said what that equates to is a clear path. A clear path. You with me?
Yes.
So that times of refreshing, seasons of revival may come, featuring the presence of the Lord. Amen. I love the manifestation of God's presence.
Yes.
Amen. There's nothing that somebody should write a song. There's nothing like the presence of the Lord. There's nothing like it. There's nothing like tangibly sensing and experiencing God on the inside of you. And realize that it's not just me in here. Glory to God. And I'm along for the ride. And the more I follow, the more I go, the deeper the flow. Glory to God. Times of refreshing. So when you're adaptable and you're willing, and not just to leave your location to go to another location, but when you're willing in a service to go anywhere God tells you to go in that service, to do whatever He says do in that service, meaning whatever flow is presented, you don't choose to opt out, but you participate. Remember, we're not Goldilocks Christians, and we're not cafeteria Christians. You remember that from last night? What's a cafeteria Christian? I'll take this, but I don't want any of that. I don't want the dancing, but I will take a little bit of praising. Just a little bit, just enough, just a few calories worth of praising.
Come on.
No, if it's God, I want it all. Amen. Amen. And so the presence of the Lord can flood your life and bring refreshing and blessing and reviving to your life if you have a heart that's free from obstruction.
Yes.
Amen. And this goes on to say something that I wanted to get to. We've mentioned it each night, but haven't really talked about it. That times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord, and that He may send the Christ appointed for you, Jesus. You understand, of course, this isn't talking about the first time He sent Jesus, because that had already happened.
Yeah.
This has to be talking about sending Jesus the second time. And I just want us to be clear about this connection between times of refreshing. You remember what I told you in the Greek? It means seasons of revival.
Yes.
Seasons of refreshing from the presence of the Lord. That's connected to the return of Christ. Amen. Before I really get us into that, flip back over, or just maybe we'll put it on the screen, Hosea chapter 10 one time, because we looked at this verse yesterday. Let me sip that. You know, everywhere I preach, I don't ever drink water while I'm preaching. But here, I need to preach in Colorado more, don't I? Verse 12, are you there? Hosea 10, verse 12. Sow for yourselves righteousness, reap steadfast love, break up your fallow ground. You see it? Break up your fallow ground, for it's time, it is the time to seek the Lord, that he may come. That he may what?
Come.
That he may come. And rain righteousness on you. Well, it talks about breaking up fallow ground or breaking up hard ground so that you can receive his rain.
Yes, his rain.
You know, if ground, just naturally speaking, if ground is too hard, that rain will just make a puddle on top of it.
Right.
And it won't go in. And so that's why, you know, of course, and, you know, I'm a little bit agriculturally challenged, but I hang around people that know what they're talking about, right? So that's why you need to break up that ground. They have tillers and they have all kinds of plows and different stuff. What's all that? It's to break up the ground so that not only can that seed get in there, but when the rain comes, that rain can soak right in. You know, most of the time, it's not a matter of getting God to send his rain. It's not a matter of getting God to send his rain. We pray a lot of times, oh, Lord, send the rain. Send the rain. That's not the issue most of the time. It's not an issue of God sending it. He's sending it, and it's pooling up on top of us. Because if people's heart is not acclimated and not prepared for his rain, they won't receive it. Amen. Break up your fallow ground. It's time to seek the Lord. You know, that's one of the ways you break up that ground. Spending time like we've been doing this weekend, seeking God. I guarantee you, if you've been here all these services, you're leaving with your inner man in different shape than when you came. And you might have been in okay shape when you came, but you're leaving different. You're leaving different.
Yes.
We sometimes say, you're not leaving here like you came in Jesus' name. Bound, oppressed, tormented, sick, or lame.
For the
Holy Ghost of Acts is still the same. You won't leave here like you came in Jesus' name. Do you know that song? You do, because your parents listen to David Ingalls. That's a David Ingalls song. David Ingalls is a dear man of God, great songwriter and pastor. And like all of his songs are like the Confession of the Word. And he's like 90 years old, so it's working for him. He's still pastoring. He's still singing. Take time to seek the Lord. Get that ground broken up in his presence so that he can rain on you and he can come.
Yes.
Now, one more scripture that we want to tie this all together with is over in James 5, if you go there. James 5. Now, if you hear me minister in meetings or out on the road, if I have a choice about it, this is what I preach. Meaning, really, if God doesn't direct me differently, he usually does direct me differently. But if he didn't, this is what I preach. A couple years ago, he ministered to me by his Spirit at the beginning of the year. I was about to go out on a meeting. He said, get back to your signature message. And I knew exactly what, you know, he'll speak to you in a way you know what you're talking about. I said, you got it. And I knew what he was talking about. It was this. It was this verse. So if you had to ask me what's one verse that in my opinion, which I could be, you know, there's others that could have a different opinion and they wouldn't be wrong. But in my opinion, just one verse out of the whole Bible that I feel like really explains what God's doing today, what his plan is for today. It would be this verse, James chapter 5, verse 7. And it says this, be patient, therefore, brothers, until the coming of the Lord. Was it here I talked about the goal line the first night? Remember, we're moving along that goal line. What's at the goal line? The coming of the Lord. That's the big event on God's playing field, if we could say it that way. is the coming of Jesus. But Jesus is not coming just because a calendar reaches a certain day, or the dates make a certain pattern of numbers. Because we didn't even make a big deal out of it. But the other night, it was 1, 2, 3, 1, 2, 3. Woo! A great day for Jesus. Did you know that?
Yeah, 12/31.
12/31/23.
Yeah.
1, 2, 3.
1, 2, 3.
1, 2, 3. Amazing. Omnipotent. Amazing. The numbers go together. Come on. No, listen. My wife has a dear cousin. I call her dear. I don't know if you call her dear. She loves that. That's how I know that happened, because she'll always post anytime the date, the number. That's not when Jesus is coming. Jesus isn't coming because the numbers were 1, 2, 3. 1, 2, 3. Right? 1, 2, 3. 1, 2, 3. Come now and be with me. Come your church. And no, that's not it. That's not it. Be patient until the coming of the Lord. So he tells us here what will contribute to, or what will help facilitate the coming of the Lord. He said, see how the farmer waits for the precious fruit of the earth, being patient about it until it receives the early and the late rains. Do you see that? See how the farmer waits. Now, of course, again, going back to that illustration about a farmer. The farmer doesn't plant his seed one day and go out and reap that crop the next day, does he?
No.
No. It takes patience.
Yes.
It takes care.
Yes.
But really, there's actually another application of this, because Jesus made this statement. He said, I'm the true vine. My Father is the vine dresser, or the husbandman in the King James. But that's really just a word for farmer.
Right?
So there's a sense in which God is, when it talks about the farmer, it's really talking about, in a sense, the Father.
Yeah.
And just like a farmer who plants seed would wait for the precious fruit of the earth, right? What's the precious fruit of the earth? What's planted in the earth, in the ground of the earth, is the precious fruit of the earth. And that's what he's waiting for. He's waiting for it to come from the invisible realm to the visible realm, and then come to maturity where it's time to be harvested. That's what the farmer is doing. Well, just like a farmer, the Father is waiting for the precious fruit of the earth. There was a seed that was planted in the heart of the earth for 3 days, three nights. That seed was his Son. He planted his Son. Did he not? Did he plant Jesus? And the Bible says he wants to receive many sons unto glory. And so we call that the harvest. This verse calls it the precious fruit of the earth. Be patient until the coming of the Lord. Why hasn't he come? Because the Father is waiting. Well, every Christian believes the Father is waiting. But they all don't believe that correctly, because they think he's waiting on himself.
Right?
If you don't know this, let me just tell you that if you read after people who talk about the end times, they'll say, well, you know, the Father in his great plan and his great providence and his great sovereignty, he's just waiting until that day, and nobody knows the day or the hour. That's everybody's favorite scripture on the end times. Nobody knows the day or the hour, but the Father knows, and when that day comes, Jesus will come back. And that gives the idea that God's just waiting until some predetermined point in time. And if there's some truth to that, let me just say it's not all the truth. It's not all the truth. Why do you say that? Because I read the Bible. I read the Bible. And this tells me what the Father's waiting for. He's not waiting on himself. It says what he's waiting for. He's waiting for the precious fruit of the earth. And we call that the harvest. Not a harvest of zucchini. Not a harvest of squash or peas. or even watermelon.
No, 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 people.
It's a harvest of people.
Yes.
Being born again, people being saved, people coming into the kingdom of God. He's waiting for his harvest. Now you got to think right about this too. So, because folk might say, okay, well, you know, God knows who's going to be saved. God knows who's not going to be saved. And that's true. And so we'll just wait. We'll just wait for, you know, when that time comes, when the harvest is ready, then he'll send Jesus. Well, the harvest is ready right now. We're not waiting on a harvest to be ripe. We're waiting on a harvest to be reaped.
Yes.
That's the Father is waiting for the harvest to be reaped. Yes. Whose job is that?
My job.
Oh, excuse me?
My job.
Excuse me? You said what?
My job.
Whose job is it?
My job.
You said it's your job.
Yeah.
Okay, then hang on to that thought. Don't let that thought go. Because I don't know hardly any Christians that believe that the Father is waiting on us to send Jesus. He's waiting on us. He's waiting on us. Which is both encouraging and disappointing. All right, right? Waiting on me.
Yeah.
I'm waiting on me. I know. I get it.
Yeah. Yeah.
He waits for the precious fruit of the earth. But there's a certain element that he's waiting for.
Right.
He has long patience for it, being patient about it, until it receives the early and the late rains.
Yeah.
Okay. Can we talk?
Yes.
Can we talk?
Yes.
If this harvest is going to be reaped, it's not going to be reaped with good ideas and methods that people come up with.
Right?
And there's nothing wrong with good ideas. Mm-hmm. And there's nothing wrong with methods. There's nothing wrong with outreaches, mm-hmm. inreaches,
yeah.
upreach, whatever reaches you. There's nothing wrong with anything you would want to do. But we have to be led about things, right?
Yes.
But there's one element in particular that's required if the harvest is going to be reaped. And it's the same element that's required if a natural harvest is going to be reaped.
Yes.
You can't just have seed, ground, and sun to reap a harvest.
Right.
What element is it that causes that seed to do what a seed does and come up? And come up? You have to have the rain. You have to have a lot of rain.
Yes.
And spiritually, the Father is waiting for the precious fruit of the earth, but he highlights one element in particular that he's waiting for. One element that's necessary, this, the early and the late rains.
Yes.
Now in Scripture, rain, or any time you see the moving and flowing of water in Scripture, that represents the moving and the flowing and the outpouring of the Holy Spirit.
Yes.
All the time in Scripture, you see that.
Yes.
And so when it's spiritually speaking, when it's talking about the early and latter rains, we read in Hosea, God will come and rain righteousness
rain
on you.
Righteousness.
Rain is, we say it's pouring. If it's coming down good, it's pouring out.
Right.
And we're talking about an outpouring
mm-hmm.
of the Spirit of God. Jesus hasn't come because the Father's waiting. He's not waiting on himself. He's waiting on us.
Yes.
He's not waiting on the harvest to be ripe. He's waiting on the harvest to be reaped.
Right.
We're the reapers. He's waiting on us.
Yeah.
But he's not waiting on us to come up with some fancy new method.
No. Right.
He's waiting on us to cooperate with one element.
Yeah.
His outpouring.
His,
yes.
Yes.
Amen.
His outpouring.
Yes. Yes.
Yes.
Come on.
Yes.
His outpouring.
Yes.
Call Brother Tony, see if he'll play some organ on the back. I'll hold it up to a microphone here.
His outpouring.
But he's not waiting. So we're not waiting on him. But nor are we waiting on the rain. Because it didn't say he's waiting to send the rain, did it? He's patient. Look at this. The farmer waits for the precious fruit of the what?
The earth.
The earth. Everybody say the earth.
The earth.
Being patient about it until it. It what?
Receives.
No. It is pointing back to?
The earth.
The earth.
Until the earth.
Until the earth receives. Receives the early and the late rains. He's not waiting on himself to pour out his spirit. He's waiting on the outpouring of his spirit to be received. Now, in the natural realm, in the agricultural realm, where is rain received? Into the
ground.
Well, spiritually speaking, what does the Bible talk about and compare to ground, spiritually speaking? Don't you remember when Jesus talked about four different kinds of ground?
Yes.
The rocky soil, the wayside soil, the thorny soil, the good ground. Good ground. Everybody say good ground.
Good ground.
The good ground.
Yeah.
What does the good ground do? Those in the good ground are those who with an honest and good heart receive the word, bring forth fruit 30, 60, 100 fold. Amen. So how is spiritual rain received? It's received into spiritual ground just like natural rain is received into natural ground.
Amen.
Yes. Amen.
Just like natural rain is received. Listen, if you decide that, you know, I'm going to plant me a couple acres of peas, but I want to protect that from the elements, so I'm going to just build a little shed and a roof over that whole acre. And then you go and cry and you go, why isn't this growing like it's supposed to grow? I mean, it's raining. Why isn't it growing if it's raining? Because you put a roof over it, dummy. You put a roof up. And the rain's running off the roof. Amen. And you know, you can have a roof on your inner man. To where every time God's power is poured out, people put up a wall, people put up a roof, and they say, well, we need to protect ourselves and not get in on this. You know what I'm saying? Huh? You know what you need to do? You need to do what those five men did. You remember those five men? One was in on a stretcher, and the other four were carrying the stretcher, and they couldn't get in. They said, well, let's go up on the roof. And the guy in the stretcher said, oh, wait. And they said, shh, we got you, baby. We got you. We got this. We got this. And they took him up on the roof, and what did they do? They had to rip off the roof. Come on, now, some Christians need to rip off those roofs of unbelief. Rip off those roofs of doubt. Rip off the roof of pride. We're going to start preaching here good in a second, so just stay with me. You're going to got to rip off that roof, come on, of criticism. Instead of receiving, we're going to sit there and then go have the pastor for lunch after the service. Hello. Amen. No, he's waiting on his rain to be received. Well, spiritually, just like the natural, how is rain received? It's received into ground. Well, of the people that exist on earth right now, who has the capacity to receive the rain of God? Is it the believers or is it the unbelievers?
Believers.
Only believers have the capacity of heart to receive the rain, to receive. What is the rain? God's outpouring.
Yes. Yes.
Another word for outpouring? Times of refreshing from the presence of the Lord, and then he'll send Jesus.
Yes.
Times of refreshing. He'll come and rain righteousness on you. Break up the fallow ground. Seek the Lord. Receive his rain. And so you want to know why Jesus hasn't come yet? It's because the harvest hasn't been reaped. You know why the harvest hasn't been reaped? It's not because it's not ripe. It's ripe.
Yeah.
Why hasn't the harvest been reaped? Because he's waiting.
Yeah.
Not waiting on himself. He's waiting on his people, his body, to receive his rain.
Yes.
We're not waiting on him to send his outpouring.
No.
He's waiting on us to rip off the roof, to tenderize our heart, and to simply receive the outpouring of His Spirit. And to get so saturated with Him that when we go in a place and we see somebody there who has their arm in a sling or whatever, before your head has a chance to talk you out of it, something on the inside of you, just like Peter and John when they walked in the gate, up to the temple, and something jumped in them that day that wasn't there that other day, and something said, wait, we got something for you today. Rise and walk in Jesus' name. Just like them. Just like them. Instead of just ordering your sandwich or just taking care of your business or just making your deposit at the bank, you'll say, what happened to your arm? You need healing. Give me your arm. Give me your arm. You need healing. And next thing you know, they're healed. They're healed. And your head hasn't yet even got on board to talk you out of it. The church receives God's outpouring and takes it to the world. That's the only way Jesus can come. That's the only way the harvest can be reaped. We're not going to do it by ads on social media. I'm not against it. Get the ads if we can get the ads. Whatever, fine. But that's not going to cause the harvest to be reaped. God's power, God's outpouring, times of refreshing from His presence will cause the harvest to be reaped. Then Jesus will come. Amen. Amen. Is it possible, friends, that the body of Christ has been delaying the outpouring of God, delaying the return of the Lord by not cooperating with His outpouring?
Yes.
It's not just possible. We've been watching it happen for decades.
Yes.
Amen. Yes. Can you see why this is my signature message? This is the body of Christ. The great need in the body of Christ is that we'll get sensitive to God, that we'll be able to recognize the movement of His Spirit, that we'll learn to cooperate with the move of His Spirit, that when He moves, we'll move. And that's why we have services sometimes where we dance or when we run or when we shout. Why? That's practice to where you're learning to follow God's flow. So when you're out there, sorry if I'm boring you today, I hope I'm not. But so when you're out there in the world and it's just you and no organ, it's just you and no drums, go, no Tulsa tube, we call it the Tulsa tube beat. None of that. And just you and God deals with you, go share Jesus with them. Or just when the server comes to your table, you just look at them and instead of thinking about what you're going to eat, you look at him and you see an eternal being. Right. And you, if you don't talk to them, at least you talk to God about them. Right. And you say, you look at him and you say, do you know Jesus? Right. And it's not contrived. It's not weird. Yeah. It's normal because it's just what you're full of.
Yes.
You've been in the outpouring.
Yes.
You've been in the river.
Yes. Oh, thank you, Lord.
Can we go to one more passage before we check out for this evening? Tell you what I'm not going to be doing. Probably not going to be singing nothing more. Not me. Not me. Somebody else. Why aren't you turning? Because I haven't told you, have I? Let's go to Ezekiel 47. What if I tag out? What if I tag out right now? Ezekiel 47. Come on, it's your favorite. It's your favorite. You preach it better than me. Do y'all mind if I stop and work out some marriage issues real quickly? I'll buy you something really nice. No, I'm dead. Hallelujah. Ezekiel 47. You know, this is the most condensed version of this message I've ever preached.
Yes.
And I'm glad it could come out that way.
Yeah.
Verse 1 says, then he brought me back to the door of the temple, and behold, water was issuing from both below the threshold of the temple toward the east. Listen, how many know an issue is not a drip?
No.
Water's issuing.
Yeah.
It's a flow.
Yeah.
Water was flowing from below the threshold of what? Who said it? The temple.
The temple.
Say it again, the temple.
The temple.
In Old Testament times, what was the temple? That was the house of God. It was the only house of God at that time. Now, of course, we are all the spiritual temple of God. But God also localizes his body into local bodies. We call them the local church. So when you see the temple, it can represent the local church. There was a flow of God's power and a flow of God's spirit issuing from the temple, issuing from the believers, issuing from the church. Amen. The temple toward the east, for the temple faced east. The water was flowing. Everybody say, the water was flowing.
The water was flowing.
Come on, preach it. I should have said preach it. Preach it now. Come on. The water, is flowing. Thank you. Was flowing down from below the south end of the threshold of the temple, south of the altar. Then he brought me out by way of the north gate and led me around on the outside to the outer gate that faces toward the east. And behold, the water was trickling out on the south side. See, they weren't, they weren't quite as spiritual on the south end of the church as the other ones that were like really, they had a flow going on. Let me just say this, the move of God is headquartered in the local church. The move of God is headquartered in the local church. Going on eastward with a measuring line in his hand, the man measured 1,000 cubits and then led me through the water. Led me through the water, and it was ankle deep. What did we say water and the moving and flowing of water represents? The outpouring of the Spirit of God. The outpouring of the Spirit of God that's necessary for Jesus to come is a sustained, intense outpouring. We have to have it. There's no version of this thing being wrapped up where we don't have it. We have to have it. Must have it. We're not waiting on God. We're not waiting on God. The valves are open in heaven. He's waiting on the ground to receive the rain. He has long patience for it, that it, the earth, might receive the early and latter rain. The ground, the earth, the dirt. Amen. So he measured 1,000 cubits, led me through the water, and it was ankle deep. Again, he measured 1,000, and he led me through the water, and it was knee deep. How many know ankle deep water and knee deep water are two different experiences? We were just about 3 weeks, just two, 3 weeks ago, we were in on the island of Maui in Hawaii. And we took walks each evening or whatever, or at least a couple of them, watched the sunset, walks on the beach. They're watching the sunset. And when the tide changes, now all of a sudden water comes. See, I don't like to get in the water unless I really want to get in the water. And so the water comes up. And it's coming around my ankles. It didn't slow me down at all. But then you get in that water and that water is in your knees. Then it's not, you're just very much aware of another presence besides just you there. Amen. He measured me through the water and it was knee deep. Again, he measured 1,000 and he led me through the water and it was waist deep. Again, he measured 1,000, and it was a river that I could not pass through, for the water had risen. Underline it, highlight it, and say it with me. The water had risen. The things of God, the outpouring of God, is not just, let's fill up the bucket and just pour it out. The things of God start, just like everything in the kingdom of God, starts with a mustard seed level and gets bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger. And he's not going to take his holy power and presence and glory and miracles and just dump them on a people who won't appreciate it, who won't know, don't know how, have any skill flowing with it. No, he'll give us an ankle deep flow. See what you do, see how you care for an ankle deep flow. See if you appreciate ankle deep. See if that ankle deep flow makes you say, I've got to have more. I have to have more. I'm not satisfied with what we had. I've got to have more.
Amen.
And when the body of Christ cooperates with that ankle deep, we get to go to knee deep. Glory to God. We're knee deep. Oh man, you know, you don't have to ask somebody, am I in the water? You don't have to ask somebody. Come on, you know, we in this thing. We in the knee deep. But then after knee deep, then we got waist deep. You're not even totally in control at waist deep. You could get picked up, whoop, moved over there, and picked up, move over there. Huh? And when you get, now I have to give credit to your pastor is where I stole this illustration from, but part of it. When you get in water, you're able to do things. You're able to do, display feats of strength
yes.
that you can't when you're not in water. You know how I know. Do you know how I know that?
Yes.
How do I know that? Because I grew up, thank you. Yes, I grew up, because I grew up in Hollywood, Florida. We had a pool at our house. And we lived in that pool. And my parents, for some reason, had no problem leaving my brother and I alone for extended periods of time, sometimes for days at a time. They would leave us alone. And they thought we were responsible because when they come back, we pretty much had stuff put back together.
Yeah.
Amen. They had no idea. When I was 13, I took my mom's Volvo station wagon out for a drive. I didn't know how to drive a stick shift, but I did by the end of it. Amen. Some stuff you just figure out by necessity. Yeah. I mean, my brother did the same thing, but I had something that he didn't have. Stealth. My brother took my mom's car out when he was about 15. Decided she's not home. She's out doing whatever. My mom was a pro tennis umpire. She'd fly all around the world to do these tournaments. So she had just bought a beautiful brand new Chrysler New Yorker Fifth Avenue edition. That and that day wouldn't mean anything to y'all. But on that day, you remember it? It was a luxury like Lincoln Town Car type model. And my brother decided to take that out, and he went off the road into a swamp. Yes, he did. Just right off the road into a swamp. He had been working all summer as a busboy at a restaurant and had been saving his money. And it took all of his money to get it towed out and to get it detailed back to brand new condition. I did the same stuff. Nobody found out. Anyhow, it's the difference between my brother and I. He'd go out drinking and then come home real loud, banging into stuff. Dummy. He's saved now. He's saved. No, neither of us were then. No. He's saved. So anyhow, feats of strength. Remember, you can do things in the water that you can't do out of the water. So back to my pool. My brother and I, when my parents were gone, my mom had all this beautiful pool furniture. She had, you know, a whole set. We decided, let's make the city of Atlantis in the pool. So we'd take, I mean, tables, lawn chair, everything, and we'd swim all through that. Don't get any ideas. Do this now. We swim. Nothing you hadn't done. Listen. We'd swim through all that stuff. And then, like, I could pick up a table. I could pick up a chair with one hand. Why? It's not just me. There's another substance. There's another substance along with me. Amen. And in the move of God, we want to be to where the waters rise. To where our efforts are more God than us. Because that's what it takes to reap the harvest, for Jesus to come back, for us to wrap this thing up. And we're the ones on earth to do this. I'm not okay letting the next generation do it. Amen. I'm here now. I want it now. We have it now. And so that's why in 2024, we're increasing more and more. The move of God is increasing more and more. Ankle deep,
yes.
Knee deep,
yes.
Waist deep,
yes.
Over your head where you just better know how to swim. You just go with the flow. Come on.
No.
Yeah. Don't you say no. Don't you say no. Come on up. Hallelujah. You can do whatever is next. You can read more of that passage if you want. Whatever you want to do. I got to stop talking.
Oh,
hallelujah. Glory to God. 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 Oh, yay. Glory to God. Glory. 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 Now pray, lift your voice and praise God. Hallelujah. 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 Glory, 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 glory. Woo! Yes, 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 yes. Praise Him. Praise Him. Yay. Oh, oh, oh. Yes, 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 yes. Yay. Yay. Ha, 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 ha. Woo! Ha 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 ha. Oh my 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 my. Woo ha. Woo ha 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 ha. Oh glory glory glory. Ha 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 ha. Woo woo. Oh oh oh. Hey! Ha ha ha! Ah! Oh! 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 Ha 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 ha! Woo! 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 Ha 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 ha! Woo! Ha ha! Ha 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 ha. Ha. Ha 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 ha. Ha 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 ha. Glory, 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 glory. Glory, 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 glory. Ha 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 ha. Glory, 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 glory. Yay! Yay! Increasing, 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 more and more, increasing, more and more. I'm increasing, more and more, increasing, more and more. Times of refreshing. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Ha 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 ha. I sense His Spirit. Yay. Hallelujah. Glory, 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 glory.
Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Glory. Glory. My. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you, Master. Thank you, Master. Thank you, Master.